Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. Thank you so much for your presence. We don't take it for granted. We thank you so much for our fathers. Thank you for the covering that we richly enjoy. As we go into the service this morning, particularly this Bible study, I ask for fresh mercy. Mercy, O God, upon my heart, unction from your throne on high, upon my heart and upon my lips, so that I will teach this word and minister it, Lord, in simplicity, in purity, in clarity, in power, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And that your word, Lord, will go forth into our hearts and lives to do an internal, eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation, insight from you, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So that, Lord, we will not be the same. We will be richer in the kingdom, even as we fellowship with you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for mercy to redeem the time. Lord, not to say unnecessary things, but to say only those things that you would have me say. As a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this world things new and old in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth, Lord, under covering, let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be open. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us to be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only, bringing forth fruit that is well-pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So go into the word this morning. Just before we do that, once again, we'd like to honor our fathers. We thank God for their lives laid down and the covering that we enjoy, the word that builds us up that we've enjoyed over the years. And we pray that as they have sown, the Lord will cause them to reap abundantly of the fullness of Christ, to reap of the glory of God, to reap of every promise that God has made them, so that they will truly be an icon, a wave offering unto the rest of the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, Mommy. Leaning on your prayers. Amen. This morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we go into our Bible study this morning, it's a great privilege for me once again to stand before you. We're looking at the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in our last, we're looking at chapter 3 this morning. In our last lesson, we were in chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 to 17. And the Apostle Paul really was an instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit, emphasizing to us that God has chosen us from the beginning. When God was sitting down to make man, you and I were there in his heart. Hallelujah. Amen. God, from the very beginning, you're not an afterthought. You are part and parcel of the original plan. Amen. And no, so it was the plan was rolled out, you know, and in due time you were born. Hallelujah. And that plan kicked into motion. And just like we see in the life of Cornelius, you know, we see that God was having mercy on Cornelius. He was doing things that God was helping him to do. He was giving alms. You know, he was fasting, he was praying the way he knew how, you know, but all those things were a memorial. They couldn't get him born again, you know, and that's what the Bible calls the sanctification of the Spirit. How God, the power of God, is moving and working in our hearts and our circumstances, opening our eyes and causing us to draw near to God. The Bible says, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. But the Father draws us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we see all three persons of the Godhead involved in the work of salvation. And it's the same God that spoke to Peter, you know, simultaneously giving him a vision and telling him that what God has cleansed, he must not call common. And then God brought the two of them, brought Peter immediately, brought Peter from where he was, brought him to Cornelius. And as he spoke and just spoke the words, Cornelius believed. And by the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, Bam! There was a translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. And God does that for all of us. And that's why it's so important to understand that you know, intercession is really key. So God has chosen us. Now, what is the key here? The key here is the honest response in our hearts. We must respond honestly when God is drawing you. You must be sincere. Otherwise, for example, God has prepared everybody, all men. But not all men are saved. So because God's not going to erode our free will. So the key here is that we must be honest. The Bible calls us brethren, beloved of God. Beloved of God because of our honest response to God and His word of truth. And that word of truth gives us access to the mercy of God and the grace of God. And those two things make all the difference. So when you honestly respond to God, the mercy of God kicks in. When you obey what God has to do, the grace of God kicks in. Amen. So that mercy and grace ultimately bring us to have a part of the glory that Jesus carried when he was on the earth. The Bible said we have been called in verse 14, 2 Thessalonians verse 2, verse 14. We have been called to the obtaining of the glory. So you have a share in the glory. I have a share in the glory. There's enough glory for all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Your own share doesn't take away from my own share. Amen. What a great God. Amen. That's what the Bible calls an abundant provision. The Bible talks about everlasting consolation. That glory will console you. Anything that you have given up, it will restore. It is the pearl of great price. It is worth it, brethren. By the time you are done and you have the glory, you know, everything in any way. And God gives us examples. We have Job as an example. We have Joseph as an example. So Bible is telling us that we have been called so that we can give ourselves wholly to that vision and respond totally to God, not caring about what will happen to me. You're already taken care of. That's what God is. So what is God saying here? We must learn to be meek and lowly. And that meekness and lowliness is what makes us hold on to the truth of God's word. And that truth is the only protection that we have against the spirit of the age. We spoke about that last time, that there is a spirit in the world that is coming from wicked spirits in the heavenly places that governs our feelings, governs our culture, governs our thoughts, and puts us on a course that is totally opposite to the course that God has set for us. But that's not our portion. And we are saying here that influence, you know, is meant to rob us of all that God has prepared. And this happened to Demas. So that in Second Timothy, I believe, chapter 4, verse 10, talks about Demas having loved this present world. He forsook what God gave him. We will not forsake what God gave us in Jesus' name. But what happened? He believed a lie. That's what those spirits do. They make the lie. Bible says that he that believeth a lie. Bible talks about miracles, lying signs and wonders. This is not a day to follow signs and wonders. It's a day to follow the truth of the word of God. And then that truth will produce the real sign and wonder. Amen. So that's what God wants for us to do. And so that we end up shielded and protected. Those who reject the truth are now open to what the Bible calls strong delusion. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Now, as we said earlier, the mercy of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus through the blood, the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of God's word, the army of angels that God has detailed to attend to us are stronger than the devil and his angels in Jesus' name. So we are in the majority. Amen. We have so much going for us so that we can give ourselves to the will of God and experience the fullness of our prophetic destiny. The Bible says in Matthew 24, in verse 35, says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's why if you want to stay here and fulfill it, hold on to the word of God. Everything else will pass away, but that word will keep you and will present you faultless before his throne in Jesus' name. That's the will of God. And we also see here the 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. The Holy Spirit reminded me that scripture, 2 Chronicles 16 in verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to do what? Show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." So the key is to make our hearts perfect towards him and keep it perfect towards him so that he can show himself strong. Nothing stronger than God. God is the strongest there is. Amen. So in these perilous times, let's focus our hearts on the truth, not on prophets, not on dreams or prophecies that somebody gave or anything that is contrary to the truth of the word of God, so that we can be established in every good word and every good work. That's what the Bible says, okay? All the works of faith with power, God wants us to be established in it. Established in prayer. Established in fasting and leading a fasted life. Established in the study of God's word. Established in obedience. Established in the works of faith without power. Taking care of the less privileged. God wants us to be established. And when we are established, then he can then take us to the fullness of all that he has for us. So we're not giving up. And we're not turning back. Amen. Tell anybody there's no giving up. And there's no turning back. That's what he wrote that this epistle for to the Thessalonian church. Because they were a church born in persecution. Was there's no giving up. But that goal is sure. Amen. So we now move on to what we have for today by the help of the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to be reading from verses 1. Verse 4. Let's read it together. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have what? Free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Next verse. "And that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Next verse. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." That's what establish again. Amen. Verse 4. "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you." Our confidence is in God on your behalf. Amen. "That you both do and will do the things which we command you." Amen. All right. Now, let's look at that in the Message Bible. The same portion of scripture from verse 1 to 4 in the Message Bible from the top. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. One more thing, friends. Pray for us. Pray that the Master's word will simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, just as it did among you. Next verse. "And pray that we'll be rescued from these soundrels who are trying to do us in. I'm finding that not all believers are believers." "But the Master never lets us down." Hallelujah. God will never let you down. Amen. He never lets us down. "He will stick by you and protect you from evil." Amen. Next verse. "Because of the Master, we have great confidence in you. We know you are doing everything we told you and will continue doing it." Amen. All right. So what is the apostle saying here? What is the Holy Spirit saying here today to us, you know, through this portion of scripture? It is vital to realize. It says, "Finally, brethren." So it means everything he has been saying, he's about to say something that is finally going to make sure that all those other things work. What has he said? He said that the word of God came to you in persecution. He said you received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. Then your faith grew and your love grew exceedingly. And when your faith grew and your love grew, then God now had confidence in you to allow you to be tested. And then Satan came and tested you and was trying to tell them that, look, that testing is not for you to fall. It's for you to be established, because that testing is coming to show One, giving God a legal basis to put Satan away into the lake of fire. That's the first thing. And that whatever it is that you are going through is meant to break that root of pride. That satanic nature that is deeply embedded in us. So that when God breaks that pride and takes it away, He can then give you the glory, and the glory will not puff you up. Amen. And He now says that when He is coming in us, in verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, that God is coming to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Amen. God is going to be admired in us. And that's why He has said that. Then He moved on to chapter 2, where He said that, don't let anybody distract you from these things by one prophetic word that they said somebody gave, or by one letter, or by some spirit, some miraculous manifestation. Hold on to the truth, because there is a spirit of the Antichrist that is seeking to take you away from this path of the truth. So we see here, from what He's saying here, that there is a particular course that God has for us as Christians that is different from the course that the world has for His own people. The Bible talks about the course of this world. Amen. And there is a course for the children of God. And that's what, so God is telling us here, that we must give heed to these things that He's saying, because no one says, finally, my brethren, you know, He says we should give heed and pray for those in authority over us. Now, it's extremely critical that we do that. And by the grace of God, God's going to help us to see why it's important to do that. Why must we pray for those in authority over us? Well, the Bible says so. That the word of the Lord may have free course. Amen. Satan wants to muzzle the ox that is treading the corn. He wants to make sure that the quality of the word, the epignosis of God's word, will not go out. Because once it goes out, the word of God reproduces after its kind. It's an incorruptible seed. It will not return void. So rather than let it go out and be bringing forth fruit, let's stop it from going out. So we want to smite the shepherd. We want to attack those people that God has set in authority. The true spiritual fathers. The sons of Issachar, through whom God is bringing light to the church. And that's why it's so critical that we must understand that our well-being is in making sure that nothing happens to them. Amen? Because God is using them to do two things. He is using them to bring forth the word of His grace that is building us up and giving us an inheritance. And then He's using them to provide covering. And those two things together help us fulfill our destiny. So it is extremely important to understand that, no, there is a course. There is a course that God has for us. So the Holy Spirit was reminding me, you know, as we have been taught in this house, you know, that when the word of God comes to us, it comes as knowledge and information in your head. Now, it must make a journey, Papa Ralph taught us, from your head, from our heads to our hearts, and from our hearts to our feet. So we start with head knowledge, it moves to revelation knowledge, and it ends up as experiential knowledge. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory. God's glory is only coming on those people who allow the word of God to be made flesh in us. So the word of God is not something you know. It is something you have become. It is something that you have walked in. It is something that you must be practicing. That is extremely important for us to understand. So that word must make that journey. So in the process, you know, just like the Bible says, the parable of the sower that sowed seed, you know, the wayside heart is the heart that doesn't pay attention to the word of God. Then the next heart is the stony heart, the heart that receives the word of God but does not determine. So when you have heard the word of God and you make a determination to do the word, even when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, God begins to open up the word to you. Amen. So even under pressure, you hold on to the word. Amen. Like Joseph did. You hold on. You don't compromise because you are seeing the invisible. You are seeing something beyond the ordinary, and that thing is encouraging you to go on. Amen. Then you move on to the next ground, which is the thorny ground. You know, and that thorny ground is a place where the lust of the world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things wants to choke the word. So we need discipline. Pastor has taught us this. Mommy has emphasized it again. The three D's. The first one is determination. The second one is discipline. The third one is diligence. So it is in the exercise of determination, the exercise of discipline, and the exercise of diligence that the word progressively begins to be made flesh. Amen. And so we learn it. So that means that sometimes we fall, we get up again. No, and we are not satisfied. If we leave the word in our heads alone, it puffs us up and makes us proud. And that's not the will of God. So we need to submit ourselves to the word and need to look. Bible says, look to ourselves. Look to ourselves so that we don't lose our reward, as the Bible says. Okay? So we see that is what that is the course inside us as individuals that the word of God takes. Now, we want to also see this, that word that is coming from spiritual fathers is accomplishing a work in the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. This is why Satan fights it. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's something we read every day. This is the reason why God has given us churches. Really, this is the purpose. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So that word that God has given is soap. It is soap. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about the washing of water by the word. It is soap that is supposed to wash away, cleanse us. Ephesians 5, yes. Give me verse 25. Thank you. Right. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Amen. That he might present it to himself. A what? Glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is what Jesus died for. This is what he's fulfilling. This is his purpose. Amen. So really, when that, but Jesus needs the word, because it's only as good as the soap. It is the soap that determines what you can remove. If the soap is dilute and is not potent, then there's very little that can be done. So God needs the strong word, the pure word of God. It's that word of God that is the soap, that the life of God. So the combination of the word and life of God wash away that sin nature and make us perfect. Let's go now to verse 14. Ephesians 4, 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. To make that connection. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So what does this word do? It grows us up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says that every scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Verse 17 is my punchline. That the man of God. So it's that word takes us from children of God and transforms us into men of God. Amen. That are thoroughly prepared unto every good work. So we need the word to prepare us, and then we need the word to actually carry out the good work. So the word is key. It is central to everything that God is doing. And when Satan wants to fight it, he fights the word. Because that way, once the word is not there, everything else crumbles. Because the word is extremely important. Okay? So that's the first thing Satan fights. The second thing he fights is the covering. That deep intercession that God has provided for his people. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 32, verses 1 and 3. 1 to 3, I beg your pardon. It says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. We're talking about spiritual kings now. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's using metaphors to describe what the power of God that is coming out of spiritual kings is accomplishing. Is accomplishing protection. Is hiding us in God's hiding place. Amen. It is nourishing us as rivers of water in a dry place. It is bringing comfort and encouragement as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Verse 3. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. So he's talking about the fact that deaf ears are now open. Blind eyes are now open. You now begin to understand what the Bible is saying. You see beyond the surface because of the light that is coming from spiritual fathers. Amen. And Satan fights it because you are growing. And once you grow, you cannot be deceived. And once you cannot be deceived, then he has a problem. Because he has an army of mature saints. And they spell the end of his kingdom. Amen? So we see that. Look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. That's Exodus 17, verse 8. Let's read this together. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. The flesh. Amalek is a type of the flesh. Is always fighting against the people of God. We were born into a battle. We are born into warfare. You didn't choose it. It was before you were born. Next verse. And Moses said to Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. He didn't say choose out children. What did he say? Choose out men. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill, Zion's holy hill, with the rod of God in my hand. Next verse. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So we see two sets of people. We see Moses, Aaron, and Hur on the top of the hill. And then we see Joshua at the bottom fighting with men against the flesh. Amen. Next verse. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when Moses let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. The success or otherwise of your war against the flesh depends on covering. It depends on the word that is coming out. It depends on the power that is coming out. You are doing your bit on the ground floor. But understand this, if they don't do their bit on the higher level, at the top of the hill, there's nothing you do on the ground floor. There's nothing you do on the ground floor. So if anything happens to them, it happens to you. So you and them are one. It is God's will to look after their interests as they are looking after your own. Instead of you saying, thank you for looking after my interest. May God bless you. May God bless you. And then you go your own way. It's not like that too. Because as you can see what's happening, it's coming from the top of the hill. The victory. Next verse. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone. And that's what God is teaching us, a stone of revelation. is a revelation that you must put this stone in your heart and put that stone under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Next verse. Hallelujah. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with what? The edge of the sword. Hallelujah. The word of God. So that word of God that you, is the word of God that you confess, that they taught you, that you confess, that is giving you victory. Amen. Next verse. Next verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For while we utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, there's going to be a set of people that there will be no Amalek in them. Hallelujah. And you are one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, write it. I will utterly. He said it. And his word is not passing away. Remember what we said. Next verse. Next verse. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it what? Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, it is the Lord our banner, the Lord our victory. Victory is only assured when there is covering and when you are doing your part. If anything is not in that equation, there is no victory. Therefore, we must fight tooth and nail to ensure that it is well with our fathers. Amen. It must be personal. Look, and we see the example in Acts chapter 12. Let's turn there. Acts chapter 12. God is looking at the heart and the effort. But it is a memorial. It is a statute. We must look after our fathers. Not just with giving offering and tithe. In prayer. In following the example. Because you are only as strong as the people that are behind you. Amen. Now, about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain in the church. He didn't vex everybody in the church. He vexed certain key people. Jump to verse 5. Jump to verse 3. Okay. And when he saw that he pleased the Jews, he proceeded for he killed James to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Next verse. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in where? A prison. And delivered the 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Next verse. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer. But what? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's the pattern in the former church. We must pray for them without ceasing. What does that mean? Continuously. Regularly. Consistently. It is important. Systematically. Thank you. Amen. Next verse. Okay. And we know the story. When Herod would have brought him, God sent an angel and delivered Peter. Now, the people that were praying for Peter, was it because their faith was very great? When Peter appeared at the door, they shut the door. There was a beautiful lady called Rhoda. Pastor Rhoda. Amen. And your own is a different Rhoda. Amen. And there was a little lady, she said, he's at the door, he's at the door. People said, no, there's something wrong with you. You must be mad. Can you imagine? Brethren, and we are praying. What I'm trying to tell you is that they were not perfect. But they were praying. And it was sincere. And God used it. So don't say in your heart, oh, it's only for some people. It's for everybody. It's a memorial. It's a statute. All of us are involved here. Amen? So and why is this important? It's because as we have said, you know, those two things, covering and the word of God, must be coming out of the church. And he knows this. Satan knows this. He says, abnormal spiritual children cannot glorify God. You see, we're in a factory. And God is producing sons. He's taking raw material, children, and he's bringing out the finished product, sons. And it's a conveyor belt. It's going from one spot to another. And that from every spot, there are things that are deposited in the saints. Okay? To make it the finished product. After which God will now stamp it. Amen? and put the fullness of his glory on. That's how you know that the work is done. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, like a seal. Made in Nigeria. Don't worry. Made in Nigeria is going to be something excellent very soon. Amen. Made in Nigeria. And he has a seal on it. Okay. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Thank you, sir. All right. He puts a seal on it and the power is there. Amen. But that process is a very delicate process. And if anything goes wrong in that process, things can go wrong. Look at what the Bible says. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 16. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generation that had any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Bible talks about the Levites were all under Aaron. And he's telling you here that you can be, of course, you know that as a Levite, you can be a Levite, but you may not be a priest. Now, this is what he's talking about. The priest is the person that can go before God and represent the people. He's the person that can go to God and receive of God. He's the person that is growing up. He has a career. He has a course that is from age 20 to age 50. He's going to serve in the house of the Lord. And that's the person. Now, he's saying that if anybody has any blemish, if there's any problem on the production line and something goes wrong, and there's anything wrong, a person can be disqualified automatically from the priesthood. Next verse. For who, whatsoever man he be that had a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man or a lame, he that hath a flat nose or anything superfluous. Next verse. Or he that is broken footed or broken handed. All these things can happen. People that are blind, they cannot see, they don't have revelation knowledge because of the heart. It's the word of God that is working on the heart. Is the power of God that is working on the heart. So if there's anything happening with the release of that word at the frequency and clarity and purity as supposed to be coming out, then there are going to be repercussions in the production line. Next verse. Or crook-backed, or dwarf, or he that had a blemish. You know, dwarf is people that know 30 years old, but is very stunted in stature, had a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or had his stones broken, cannot reproduce the Christ nature. He's talking about the fact that God cannot allow anything to go wrong with that production line. These spiritual fathers are responsible to ensure that that production line is going on unhindered. And that's why they become the object of attack. So the devil attacks them spiritually in their well-being. He attacks them in their mind. He attacks them in their physical body and their physical well-being. And the well-being of their children and their grandchildren. And the whole idea is to discredit their testimony. Say that God is not good. That God that you preached about it, you know, you are not going to experience it. And he has failed in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11. We see what true ministry goes through. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received by 40 stripes, save one. Next verse. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. You still want to be a pastor? Next verse. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. See why you need to pray for them? There are many things that they are going through you don't even know anything about. You don't know. And they come and they smile. they will preach from the pulpit and there's stuff going on that they're going through. Let's give our fathers a super hand. Has there been any Sunday we have not come here? Give God the glory for the kind of fathers that we have. See what they go through. Verse 28. See what they go through. Next verse. Next verse, please. Besides those things that are without, that cometh upon me daily, the care. What's going on in your life? They care about you and me. More than they will not tell you about their own pain that they are going through. They will be telling you about your own. Ah, brethren. And we cannot pray. We cannot pray. If we don't pray, how will you learn to care? How will you learn to care back? Shouldn't you care back? Shouldn't you love them back? We should. It starts with prayer. Prayer is the place where it begins. So that their testimony can be complete. So that they can say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's their testimony. Joshua told them, I don't know what you people want to do, but as for me and my house, and boy, did Joshua serve the Lord. Look at Psalm 128 verse 3. Hallelujah. We give God the glory. You know, Psalm 128 verse 3, let's give it to me. Yeah. Give it to me from verse 1. Thank you. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Next verse. Next verse. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Next verse. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. That's what their portion is. Their children doing well. Their children breaking barriers, breaking the glass ceiling, any other kind of ceiling. Because once it comes to them, of a certainty, the oil that came from the head, that went down the neck, will you not do to the bed, will you not go down to the skirts of God? It's coming on your own children. But God must make a prototype. God makes a prototype. And then from that, that's God's system. It takes time to make the prototype. It took time, Jacob time, to peel the rods. But when he pulled the rods, once they came to that place, they just reproduced after the rod that they saw. So it's God's wisdom. You know, so we must help God set up that standard. Because that legacy, when you see they and their generations serving God, it proves that God is a generational God. Proverbs 13:22. God is a generational God. Proverbs 13:22. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. 13:22. A good man. You know, only God is good. So a God man. It has to be. It's not easy. It's not just by doing it by us. A God man leaveth an inheritance. Is it to his children? It must percolate to the grandchildren. So your primary ministry is your family. Yes. So, I mean, they have us as children, but their own children are key. They are the primary ministry, and we must support them in that ministry so that they can be well with us. That's what the Bible is saying. And okay, that's the pattern that God is trying to show us. We must fight. We must fight for them. We must fight with them. We must cover their back. We must make sure Satan has no area that he can come to say, where is your God? We silence it in Jesus' name. That's the will of God. That's the purpose of God. We must have a sense of personal involvement. It's not something far away. It's personal, one-on-one. Because if it doesn't go well with them, how will it come to me? That's the truth. And even though that's not why you're doing it because you truly love them. And you genuinely love them, okay? And we see that Satan fights it. David was a mighty man. How many things had David done for God? But his children. David had a problem with upbringing his children. Even though God helped him with Solomon. But he had a problem with upbringing of his children. So we must see. So their children must turn out. And we thank God for them. Hallelujah. from all of them to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So, I mean, it means that you've been praying, but we need to pray more. Amen. We need to pray more. There is work to be done. Hallelujah. Samuel was a great prophet. Great prophet. But they used his children to blackmail him. May the enemy not be able to use our children to blackmail us. Use them as an excuse to say that you see, these are your children. It will not happen in Jesus' name. So it starts from the head. You must sow good seed so that you can reap good seed. May God help us sow good seed in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see what God is doing here. And so this God is saying that as we pray for them systematically, that's why we come to Gideon. Every first week in Gideon's, we pray for our fathers. Amen. But take out time on your own and pray for them. Take out time on your own. It is mandatory. How can it be? Well, this just doesn't make any sense. You must, and then gradually, as you pray, because love is in the spirit. As you pray, then God begins to work on our hearts. Amen. And begins to open up our bowels so that all the constriction that is there are removed. And then you also, just from praying for them, all the things that ought not to be begin to disappear in your own life because your bowels are becoming enlarged. That's the will of God for us, brethren. Amen. So this is what God is doing. All right. We must pray for them so that the word of God can have free course. Free course in their lives, free course in their families, and free course in ministry. So that they can preach that word. Amen. And when that word goes forth, then you know, the Bible says must have free course and be glorified. Amen. So that means that, you know, how is the word glorified? It's glorified when it brings forth fruit in the people that hear it. Bible says, I've ordained you to bear fruit. In this is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. So where God is glorified when the word produces fruit in the lives of the people that hear it. So we must pray for them. So we are praying with them. We are praying for them. Hallelujah. And the word of God has free course. And the Bible says, like Paul said, the word of God is not bound. You can throw them anywhere. That word will keep working. Is it not the one that Paul wrote that we are looking at today? Centuries and generations later. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see that the word of God is key. So verse 2 now. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. Maybe that's all we'll be able to do about the message. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. They are brethren. Brethren. Perils of false brethren. They are brethren. They glory in their shame. Their God is their belly. They have their own agenda. They are not eunuchs. We are talking here about fathers who are eunuchs. They are faithful to the purpose of God. And they have paid the price. A eunuch is somebody who has been castrated in all, you know, the kings had harems. So they would castrate a eunuch so that the eunuch would look after the woman. But how can you look after a woman if you're having ideas? So that's why they castrate them, so that then they cannot reproduce. So they are now, the king is sure that they are now loyal. These are people that have used the power of the Holy Spirit to remove every self agenda, every personal gain. Their interest is the interest of the kingdom. The kingdom is their meat. The Bible says that, my meat is to do his will and to finish his work. That's their meat. That's what they feed on. When they do it, they save all their strength. You know, sometimes, you know, thank God for mommy. Just give mommy a super clap offering. Save all her strength for the time of prayer. For just that time of prayer. You know, it's amazing. And you sleep off. That's why you just say, we've come to Thanksgiving. You give thanks. Hallelujah. Blah, blah, blah. You know, some people go through all of it. checking the time and making sure everything is done at the right time. And then they add things by the Spirit. They say, "What is a eunuch?" They've killed the desire for self. They've killed the desire for their own gain, for their own agenda. And God wants us to be like that. He wants us to be like that. Look at Nehemiah as we round up now. Now chapter 2 in verse 10. And then we're going to jump to verse 4. Nehemiah 2:10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. These are the type of some type of leaders in the church that we have today. But they are becoming lepers. Amen. And their shame will not be hidden, it will be public. Amen. But look at how can he be grieved that exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. We shall jump to chapter 4, verse 7 and 9. Same Nehemiah. Verse 7. And it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, they have gone to get support, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Next verse. Nevertheless. No, that's verse 9. Go to verse 8. Verse 8 is very important. And conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Next verse. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And they failed because the temple was built. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is God saying as we begin to close? God is saying that it takes prayer. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. God wants us to fight. Learn to fight. You have to learn spiritual warfare. You have to learn to pray for those in authority to the best that you can. It doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be sincere. And you put it all of your heart into it, both corporate and individual. And as we do our bit, God raises up a standard. And that standard, because of our open womb, begins to distill upon each and every one of us. And then we become a family. Amen. We become a family that is a witness. Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. This is the love of God. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. The kingdom is marching on. And the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not prevail. But we must ensure that we fight strategically. Learn to put on the whole armor of God. As we have been taught, we'll see that later on, obeying the instructions that we have been given and praying so that we can deliver. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Holy Spirit asked me to read that. We're going to finish our course with joy. Paul was talking, said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. You see what the word of God is doing through Paul? And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God will deliver our fathers. He will deliver us. He's our hiding place. You are a hiding place. You always fill our heart with songs of deliverance whenever we are afraid. We will trust in you. Trust in you. Yes,
we will trust in you.
We will trust in you.
We now say that
we now say that we are strong in the strength. Of our right hand in faith, put our left hand on our heart. God is our hiding place. As we grow in love, we grow in the hiding place. Hallelujah. Amen. And He compasses us around with songs of deliverance. Let us pray. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me that it is in my interest, it is your will, it is your desire for us as a body to protect, look after, care for, and nurture our spiritual fathers, who bring us the word of life and who also provide covering that preserves us until we enter into our prophetic destiny. Heavenly Father, I repent of my omission. I now determine to pray for them daily, frequently, systematically, regularly, to provide life and power that will shield them and their seed and their seed in your hiding place, so that you will prepare them as a prototype. You will prepare them as a poplar that we can all replicate. So Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful, to be diligent, to care for them. Help us, O Lord, so that we also, as we walk in their instructions, you will hide us and our families and our loved ones in your hiding place. You will instruct us in the way where we should go, and you will guide us with your eyes, in Jesus' name, that in these perilous times you will deliver us from every evil work, and you will preserve us unto your everlasting kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rasekantomo, minge de bebedi katamba, repa papa kosebe sekaten, jeke de bebedi kokotu baba baba baba, minge de bebedi, meko do bakosato baye, makoto bakosamater, jenge de bebedi, minka kakatoa, roba baba pikea, jeke lom, rapa baba, domani, domasatoa, robo, menga bakatoa, romba bakope, roba katombela, roba baba pikea, rebe. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you have fear in your heart this morning, Lord, just beat my heart. You are afraid for yourself. You are afraid for your family. This is the way of escape. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on your fathers, and God will take care of you. Just realign that in your heart, and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, for as many as I hear under the covering of our fathers. Your word has gone forth. Every spirit of fear that is oppressing their minds, we come against you. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Break your power over their hearts, over their lives, in the name of Jesus. And we declare under covering, it is well with you. It is well with your family. It is well with your seed, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Key into that word and obey instruction, and God will take care of you. Amen.